Greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Imad Audi, and I hope this message will bless your heart, challenge your mind, and draw you closer to Jesus.
From tradition to transition. From tradition to transition. Now, tomorrow will be Mother's Day, and on behalf of all the children that are here with us, on behalf of all the husbands that are here with us, if you're a mom, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day in advance. And since it is Mother's Day tomorrow, I thought I want to talk about something that will not happen, does not happen without mothers. I want to talk about childbirth, but I want to talk about it in a practical way that applies to us today. I want to talk about it in a different way than you usually hear about it. You see, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he referred to birth. Notice his words, what he said. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. Now, why is it? What is it about birth that Jesus was pointing Nicodemus and hence us today too? What is it that he wanted us to understand? You see, there is something about childbirth that we need to understand in order to better understand conversion, and not just conversion, but also to better understand and continue on our spiritual walk and spiritual growth. I, like many others, correctly pointed to the fact that birth denotes new life. So by Jesus telling Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was telling him, you need to receive a new life. You need to receive a new spirit, which if you do, you will not, if you do not, you will not enter or see the kingdom of God. This must be the most important lesson you will come across or you will learn in your Christian walk. Conversion or new birth is not merely a theological assent to some intellectual truth. Not at all. It is exactly as Jesus said it. It is birth, or meaning it's receiving a new life. It is a moment in time when you receive Jesus Christ and you receive a new life. You begin living a new life. Allow me to put the screen here. So what I say, you will see the biblical references to what I'm saying. You become partaker of the divine nature. You become a son and a daughter of God, the Most High. You become possessor of eternal life because your body becomes a temple in which Jesus dwells, in which the Spirit of God dwells. And since the scripture says that he, Jesus, is our life, or as Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." When you receive him, that is Jesus, you receive eternal life then and there. Why? Because he that has the Son has life. So this is the most important Christian truth or fact you will ever understand. It encompasses salvation, redemption, and all the big words that Christians use. It has become one of my favorite topics to talk about, because when I came to understand it, I was set free. Or as Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." But that is not what I want to talk to you about this morning. I've spoken about it in many of my sermons, but I want to talk about a more practical and yet a more ignored aspect of birth. You see, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus, unless your mother conceive you again, meaning unless your mother becomes pregnant with you again, you will not enter the kingdom. That's not what he said. He told him, unless you are born again, meaning the focus is not on the mother, even though tomorrow is Mother's Day. The focus is not on the mother, but the focus is on the child. when time comes for a baby to be born, things never, ever go back to what they were before. Ask any parent and they can vouch to what I'm saying. When a baby is born, things never, ever go back to the way they were anymore. Even for the parent as well. Sleep is gone. Peace of mind is gone. There is now trouble. There's all kind of things. But specifically also for the baby, because that's what I want us to focus on. While the baby is in the womb, he's comfortable. He's being fed and nourished. All his needs are supplied. But time comes when the womb becomes too small for the baby. Life becomes agitating for that baby. Not much room to move. The place where he was once comforted is no longer comfortable for him. The place where he was once fed and nourished has become too small for him, too uncomfortable for him. He needs to come out. He needs to exit that dimension and seek existence in a different and a new dimension. That is birth. But between the two dimensions, between exiting the old dimension and entering into the new dimension, the baby will go through some difficulties. He will go through some tight and twisty places. He will be pushed and pulled, bruised and almost abused. He will be hot and cold and so forth. Between the two dimensions, where he was and where he is going, between his past and future, between his history and destiny, he must go through some difficult and trying times. But the thing is, to remain where he was, he cannot. To stay in transition, he will die. Out must he go. Even at times, you will hear pregnant women at the day of their delivery screaming, "Get this thing out of me." When time comes for a baby to be born, he must go through that transition. He must exit that dimension he's in and enter into a new dimension, or there will be trouble. Now, the lesson, or the first lesson I want to point your attention to, is that birth encompasses a dramatic change. And unless you go through this change, unless you move to your next phase, you will perish, or you will not see the kingdom of God, as Jesus put it. Sometimes in our life, I'm not sure if any of you can sympathize or empathize with what I'm saying, but sometimes we feel that our situation is becoming too tight. The things we once enjoyed, we no longer enjoy. The people we once loved to spend time with, we no longer want to be with. The place that once brought nourishment to you is becoming too small for you. Sometimes you get this unsatisfied feeling, this feeling that you are meant for something bigger and greater than what you are in at the moment. And your friends and those who are closest to you might not understand. They might be saying, why is he acting so different? Why is he doing things differently now? Why isn't he doing things the way we've always done them? Why isn't he believing the things we've always believed? I've got news for you. It is not a bad thing to question your tradition. It is not a bad thing to question your history. It is a sign that the dimension you are in now is no longer big enough for you. You need to move to the next phase in life. You see, there is a point in time when you give your life to God and you are born again. But make no mistake, it is called a spiritual walk. It is called a journey with God. It is not a standstill. You will grow, you will move, and you will change. All of us in here are work in progress. God is shaping us and slowly calling us to where he wants us to be. And at every stage of our growth, it is like childbirth again. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, "My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Their growth in Christ is likened to childbirth. This is not referring to them being born again and receiving the Spirit. They already received the Spirit, as he told them in chapter 3. This is referring to them growing in Christ, reflecting Christ, moving from one stage in their spiritual journey to another stage in their spiritual journey. As this growth comes along, it demands change. It demands moving from one dimension to another. It demands a letting go and a grabbing hold. Are you getting what I'm saying? It demands a letting go and a grabbing hold. Now here's the thing. While the baby is in the womb, he's comfortable. He's cuddled. He's in a good place. He's in a warm place. When the baby is born, he is made comfortable and cuddled as well. He goes straight into the arms of his mother. But when he is in between, when he is in transition from his history to his destiny, life is confusing. Life is challenging and risky. And what I want to tell you this morning is that the hardest time to discern the voice of God is when you are going through transition. The hardest time to discern the voice of God is when you are going through transition. Life becomes challenging. The things we knew, the things we took comfort in, suddenly are changing. Everything we held to and learned is becoming shaky. And in times like these, the natural thing for us to do is to hold tight onto our tradition, onto the things we always believed and did. In times like this, we catch ourselves saying, well, I've always believed this. I mean, everyone believes it. I should keep holding on to it. You see, so many times we pray for things, and when God answers our prayer, when God gives us what we're asking for, we reject it, we fight it, and doubt it. You see, Israel prayed for deliverance from Egypt, as we were looking in Sabbath school earlier. They prayed for deliverance from Egypt, but when God answered their prayer, when God granted them the deliverance, they murmured their way out of Egypt, and they died in transition. They never made it to the next dimension. They never made it to the next phase. They died in transition. They wished they could go back to the leeks and onions of Egypt. They wanted to go back to their tradition, to what they are used to. Now, you will hear me use the word tradition throughout this message. What I mean by tradition is that the thing that we are used to doing all the time, the thing that we are comfortable in, whatever it is, whether it's your spiritual tradition, whether it's your cultural tradition, whatever it is, whatever challenge that God is bringing you to, there is a tradition and there is a future, there is a history, and there is a destiny for you. And so many times we end up grabbing hold onto the tradition because we're scared. You see, another example in the Bible is Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad. Him and his wife, they prayed for long for a child. And when God answered his prayer, when God sent him the angel Gabriel and told him, Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Your wife is going to be with a child. Zacharias doubted. He didn't believe. God had to literally shut him up for a season in order for Zacharias to receive the blessing. Israel prayed for the promised Messiah. And when God sent them the Messiah, they didn't receive him. They killed him. My question for you this morning is, what have you been praying for? And if God is to answer your prayer, are you going to receive it? Many Christians pray for truth. I am one of them. I'm sure you're here because you are one of them. You pray for truth. We pray for God to open our eyes so we can behold wonderful things out of his word. But the problem is that when God answers our prayer, when God sends truth our way, the majority of Christians, they reject the truth, they fight against it, and they hold tight to their tradition or to the thing they've always believed, where they feel comfortable. Why? because they are scared of change. They are scared to go through the transition that God has for them. When we go through this transition, it is difficult to understand God. It is difficult to understand what is going on and to make sense of what's happening in the present, because we cannot avoid wanting to understand God in a traditional way. We cannot avoid wanting to understand God in a traditional way, in the way we always understood Him, in a way we always heard Him and we always interpreted things. We naturally want to draw on past experiences, past beliefs, past traditions to interpret God, to interpret what God is doing in the present. But what do you do when God is doing a new thing? What do you do when God is not interested in the way you always did things? What do you do when God is not interested in maintaining the tradition? What do you do when God is moving you into a new dimension where everything in you, everything you believed, everything you did is being challenged? What do you do when God rocks up on the scene and He says to you, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What do you do then? You cannot refer to the past in order to interpret the present. God is doing a new thing in and through you. You must let go of your history in order to embrace your destiny. You must let go of your tradition in order to go through that transition. It is a difficult and challenging time to go through, because that which you drew comfort from, that which you drew assurance and confidence from, is changing. You feel like you are on shifty ground. And even though you need God the most during this time, for some reason or other, most people tend to shift their focus from God and put their focus on their tradition. Many let go of God's hand that is leading them into new territory and hold on to their tradition that is keeping them in the old territory. During these times, we usually become agitated. We become snappy and fighty. All what you have to do is look at the partner of someone who's going through a major change or major revamp at work. Suddenly that person starts perceiving, the person who's going through this change, he starts perceiving or she starts perceiving everything as a threat. And the more shaky their tradition appears, the more shaky your and my tradition appears, the more you hold onto them because you are scared of going through the transition. As I said earlier, we ask God for things, but we are not ready to receive them. We ask God for truth, but we reject it when it comes. We ask God to take the reins in His hands, but we grumble and we complain when things don't go our way. We pray for Jesus to come back. We pray for the second coming, but we refuse to go through the process of getting ready. It really is a sad time when that happens. It is like when King Hezekiah said, let me put it up. He said, "This day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth." What does that speak to me and to you today? It is saying, it is talking about the time when you have faith to ask, but no faith to receive what you asked for. You have the faith to get pregnant, you have the strength to get pregnant, but you don't have the strength to push the baby out. You have the faith to go and ask God for things, but you don't have the faith to receive when God answers your prayer and He gives you. So back to Nicodemus. When Jesus told him, "Unless you are born again," He was telling him, unless, where is it? I skipped it. Here it is. He was telling him, unless you let go of your tradition and go through this transition, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Unless you let go of your tradition and go through that transition, unless you go through your history, you let go of your history and go to your destiny, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. As I told you before, I say it again. The new birth entails a letting go and a grabbing hold. A letting go and a grabbing hold. And as I told you, our growth and our walk with Christ at every stage, it is like a new birth. I'm not only talking about being born again. That happens once when you accept Jesus. I'm talking about us growing in Christ. I'm talking about the spiritual journey that we walk with Christ. At every stage of growing, it is like a birthing experience. We must let go and grab hold. Otherwise, we still remain in the same dimension we were in before. So what God was telling Nicodemus, that which has kept you safe, that which I've put you in to keep you safe, to nurture you and to comfort you and to make you grow for a season, has become the means to hinder your growth. And in order for you to grow, God has to take you through a phase of transition. Paul expands on this theologically, if you wish, in Galatians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 23, Paul says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, or King James says, a schoolmaster. Meaning, before this transition time came, before the time of reformation came, God in his wisdom and mercy put us under the authority of the law, or put his people under the authority of the law. But after this time has come, we are no longer under that system. Just like a baby who outgrew the womb. Now, it's not my intention to get into Galatians and to talk about all these things. That's not my focus. I'm trying to make it more practical and apply it to you and me today in our life, in our everyday life. And as we go forward, as we come closer to the time of the end. So with this said, I find it interesting that God's people have always fought against change. They always refuse to go through the transition. All what you have to do is read Acts 7. Do I have it here? God sent them Joseph. They rejected him. Just a slight comment in here to make you understand what I'm thinking. God sent them Joseph. He was one of the youngest, and he gave him a dream that all his brothers, his older brothers, and his father and his mother are going to bow down to him. But traditionally, you don't do that. Traditionally, the older is the one who everyone else bowed to. Traditionally, everyone bows to the father. But God was doing a new thing. Joseph was going to be the leader. They rejected him. He sent them Moses. They rejected him. They rejected God by making an idol. He sent them prophets. They killed him. He sent his son. They killed him. All that you find in Acts chapter 7. At each stage, God was wanting to bring his people forward to protect them and nurture them, but they always fought against him. You see, the mistake they did was holding onto their tradition. The disciples were not any different. Yes, they accepted Jesus. Yes, they accepted the Messiah, but they struggled. They struggled with living different. They struggled following this man who was talking different, who was teaching different, behaving different, and working towards something different than what they always believed and worked for. Jesus introduced something different. I have no doubt in my mind, they would have said, why in the world would you touch a leper? Oh, you healed him. Why in the world would you choose a tax collector, Matthew, a tax collector out of everybody in Jerusalem? Why in the world would you choose a tax collector to be your follower? Oh, you changed them. Why in the world would you eat and drink with harlots and sinners? Oh, you're reaching out for them. Why in the world would you talk to a Samaritan woman? She's a Samaritan, for goodness sake. Oh, you can see something in her that none of us can. Why in the world would you refuse to let people make you king after you feed them with few loaves and few fishes? Oh, you're talking about a different kingdom, not the kingdom that we're thinking of. And you know, as you keep reading through the scriptures, whether it's the Old Testament Israel or whether the New Testament God's people and the disciples, I can't help but see that God's people always rejected and challenged change. And I am left wondering, are we, you and me, yes, you are listening, and me, are we any better? Are we any different? You see, the point of what I'm sharing is that the Christian walk is built on change. God does not reveal all the truth and all his plans to us at once. He reveals a little at a time as we can handle it. But when he sees fit, he reveals extra light. He calls to a higher ground. And many times this shift requires a letting go and a grabbing hold and a taking hold. A letting go of the past and taking hold of the future. I was once, many years back, driving when I lived in New South Wales. I lived in Currumbong. This picture is not in Australia, by the way. It's not it, but I had to find a bridge with a fog in it to illustrate what I saw. I was going from Currumbong down to Sydney, and you pass through a big bridge similar to this one. And as we came to the top of the hill where you can see the bridge there, it was filled with fog. And I can see just the beginning of the bridge, but I couldn't see what happens after. It was, you know, all foggy. And I couldn't help, the thought came to my mind straight away as if God spoke to me. I knew what I was, and I knew where I was going, but I could not see the way. Our spiritual walk, our walk with faith in with God is very similar to that. We know where we are now. We know where we are heading. We know the plans that God has for us. But we cannot see the way. God does not reveal all his plans. He expects us to trust him. He expects us to obey him and to follow him and to walk with him. You see, when Jesus was on earth walking with the disciples, even he did not reveal all the light. Even he did not reveal all the truth to his disciples. Here it is in his own words. He says, That's coming. We'll get to it. I'll refer to that verse later. But when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the new birth, he told him, he went on to say, the wind bloweth wherever it wants to. You hear it, but you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. It is the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God does not have to consult with you before shifting your direction. He does not have to have a board meeting with you to get your approval before he sends you on a different path. You do not know where the wind is coming and where it's going, but you can see its effect. You can see the signs that it is passing by. And the same with the working of the Spirit. You don't know how the Spirit works and why God does what he does, but you do feel and see it's working. One of the signs that the Spirit is working, one of the signs that God is shifting your direction, is when you realize that the space you are in is not comfortable anymore. It is getting too small for you. It is getting too boring and too narrow-minded for your thinking. Or when God sends your way something new, when he challenges you with something that you know will cause a major shift in your belief system, in your walk of faith, what are you going to do then? Are you going to let go of the hand of God and hold onto your tradition Or are you going to let go of your tradition and go through that transition hand in hand with God, even though you cannot see His hand? I believe we are living in the last days. I truly believe that. I truly believe that Christ will be coming soon. And because we are living in the last days, I believe God will do things differently. If you are expecting God to close the work the same way He opened it or the way you are used to, you're going to be surprised. You see, the Sadducees, they thought God stopped speaking at Moses. They only accepted, and probably if there is still some of them today, they only accept the first five books of Moses as God speaking, and they reject everything else. The Pharisees advanced even more in light. They accept the whole Old Testament, but they believe God stopped speaking at Malachi. The disciples were challenged by the fact that Jesus was not limited to the understanding that was prevalent at their time. Jesus brought new revelations. The challenge comes down to us. As Christians, we think we are better. But the sad reality is that many Christians are doing the same mistake the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the many people that gone behind us are doing. We walk a little with God, but then let go of His hand and hold on to our tradition. Some think that God stopped speaking at Martin Luther and they formed the Lutheran Church. Some think that God stopped speaking at Calvin or Zwingli and they formed their own respective churches. And many of us here today think that God stopped speaking with the founders of Adventism and we formed the Adventist Church and we stopped there. Listen, at each new revelation, the people living at that time fought against change. What makes me any different? Is there no more change that God is bringing or God is wanting to bring on His people? I want to challenge you with this thought. I want you to think about it after your sermon is finished and you go the rest of the day. I want you to think, is there no more revelation? Is there no more change that God is wanting to bring to His people? And what would you do if that change is requiring you to let go and to grab hold? I feel that many of us are not ready for the challenging times that are ahead of us. We are entrenched with our traditions. We are entrenched with our institutions and our forefathers and what they believed and so forth. I'm aware that some of us in here come from different backgrounds and some of us belong to different denominations and so forth. That's why what I'm saying is general. I want it to apply to everybody. We are entrenched in our traditions. We think that the way to grow spiritually is by looking back and by going backwards. We think that the holiest we can attain to is if we live like our forefathers. The Lutherans think holiness is to live and believe like Luther did. The Calvinist is to believe and live like Calvin did. And the Adventist is to believe and live like Wagner and Jones and Ellen White did. I'm not putting any of these people down. And I do still believe that Ellen White is a prophet, is a messenger of God. Don't let your mind go there. That's not what I'm going. I'm trying to give us a practical challenge. But I also believe that God did not reveal all His instructions and truth at any step of that growth in revelation and reformation and revival. He used different people and He revealed different light, but never all the light. Even Jesus Himself, when He was on earth, all the light was not revealed by Him, was not revealed at His time. Here it is from His own words. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Jesus knew all the light. He was the light. He was the way. But He knew that He cannot reveal it all at once. He knew that the people cannot handle it. So He says, I will give you only a little bit. But when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into more truth. That's why if you examine the New Testament, if you examine the book of Acts, if you examine the history of Christianity, you will see gradual revelation, gradual growing. Look, even in the New Testament, there is varying of teachings. There is a teaching where we do this, and then the same author, as he grows in his spiritual growth, you find that he's teaching more. I wasn't planning on giving you this, on saying this, but I will say it anyway. If I get in trouble, well, I'm in trouble anyway. Paul, for example, in the early steps of his ministry, God revealed to him light. He opened his eyes, but he didn't have all the light that God revealed to him later in his life. For example, in the beginning of his journey, he considered himself a Jew. Yes, to the Gentile, I'll be a Gentile, but to the Jew, I am a Jew. I am a law keeper. I must go up to Jerusalem to keep the feast. Timothy, his mother was a Jew. So if you want to be involved in ministry work, you must be circumcised. Titus, you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Fair enough, I won't circumcise you. But later in his writings to the Galatians and Colossians and so forth, he says there is no circumcision or no circumcision, it makes no difference. In this new covenant, there is neither Jew and there is neither Gentile. He grew in his understanding. If you think that the Bible is written, especially in the book of Acts, it's written one day, sat down, the Spirit dictated, somebody grabbed a pen and the Spirit moved the ink on paper and wrote everything and all the truth came dictated in one segment, you are mistaken. They are human like you and me. They had to grow. And out of his mercy, God was revealing to them a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time. And they were moving. The more God revealed, the more they let go and the more they grab hold. So God is not dead. He still speaks today. He can speak to you and he can speak through you. I'm aware that in this Zoom meeting, there are people, as I said, from different denominations and different backgrounds in life and different walks and are currently going in different challenges and are in different situations. I don't know your background or what you are going through, but I do know this. Transition is all about change, and change brings conflict. Transition is all about change, and change brings conflict. I don't know what stage you are at in your spiritual life and what transition God is bringing you through. My message to you today, what I believe God wants me to tell you is this. Let go of your tradition and go through your transition, whatever that transition that God is calling you to go through. God is calling you to go to a different platform. He is bringing you into a different dimension. Your friends and those around you might not understand. That is not important. What is important is that you go through this birthing experience. You go through this stage of transition so you can become the person that God wants you to be. Do not be like Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. He prayed for a child for many years, but when God answered his prayer, when God sent the angel, your wife will be with a child, Zechariah, he could not believe it. He had faith. Do I have it here? He had faith enough to pray for it till it happens, but too much doubt to receive it when it comes. He had faith enough to claim the promise, but not enough faith to receive the promise that God gave him. Do not do the same mistake. God says in his word, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The question is, do you trust God? Are you sure he has the best, your best interest in mind? Life will bring challenges. If you think that in your spiritual journey, the minute you enter whatever denomination you belong to now and you think is the truth. If you think your journey ended there, you are doing the same mistake the Sadducees did, the Pharisees did, the disciples did, and so forth. You name it. The more people I spoke with about this topic, I've come to realize that those who are born into a denomination and are still in that denomination, whatever that denomination is, find it hard to understand what I'm saying. But those who, like me, have transitioned from one phase to another, from one dimension to another, I was not always an Adventist. I was not always a Christian. I transitioned into Adventism. People who have been through a transition can better understand what I'm saying. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, we're living in the last days. There are challenging times ahead. Don't get comfortable in whatever position you are in. There is a transition for you to go through. I don't care what denomination you belong to. I don't care what your history is. I don't care what your background is. God has a future for you, and your future will not be the same as your past. It is like a birthing experience. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And I say unto you today, unless you go through this transition, you will not experience that kingdom of power and glory that God has for you. God is doing a new thing. Do not be comfortable where you are. You need to learn to let go and grab hold. Do not let go of the hand of God. If you trust that you have given your life to God, you need to trust that He that has begun a good work in you is able to perform it until the end. So I want to leave you with this message. I want to leave you with this challenge. I don't know what challenge, what change, what transition God is bringing to you, whether it's in your spiritual walk, whether it is at work, whether it is at home. I don't know what it is. But if you trust God, what I'm asking you to do is grab hold of the hand of God. Let go of your past and get ready to embrace your future. From tradition to transition. Let go of your tradition and get ready for the transition that God has for you. I will leave it at that. And I'll close with a word of prayer. And then if there is any questions, we can take them. Please bow your head with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven above, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that your Son Jesus promised will lead us into all truth. Lord, you know that I, like everybody else, like to take comfort in the things that we found comfort and strength and assurance in the past. But Lord, if you have a plan for anybody in here, including myself, to go through a transition so you can bring us into a new dimension where you can manifest your life in a greater light, I pray, dear Lord, that we will not let go of your hand, even though we have to let go of our past and of our tradition. This is my prayer for myself and for each one in here, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with others and do not forget to subscribe. God bless you.